Well, howdy there, partner. And welcome to Board Game Point of View. We here are Spitshine Bangle on the 10-gallon howl, Mr. Vassal himself, and a mighty proud member of the Dice Tower Network. So saddle up now, the show's about to start.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. My name is Adam. I'm your moderator tonight, and we are coming to you live from the Moab Coffee House in downtown Billings. We're also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Tonight I'm joined by Stephen.
What up?
Seth.
Hola.
And we have our favorite returning guest, Mr. Alex Eating.
Oh, what a pleasure to be back on the Dice Tower Network. It's been so long. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh. He's in Texas. He's already been acclimated.
Hi, y'all.
More like corrupted.
Oh, no.
What have we gotten ourselves into with this?
So, like we like to do here on the Board Game Point of View, we're going to talk about life. And I think we should dedicate this life segment to Alex. Alex, you've moved to Texas from Ohio.
I did.
Why have you done this? What?
Life choices and just in decisions in general, I think. Lack of direction has a lot to do with it. No, I recently, and by recently I mean within the last year and a half or so, started talking to my wife about the idea of what would it look like if we picked up from where we were and moved to try to chase the career that I want, which the career that I am interested in pursuing is cartoon voiceover. And we are, my wife basically called my bluff, and that's how I got here so far. I actually brought the topic to her with in the most ridiculous way possible, because I was kind of half hoping that she'd just shut me down and I would just get over it and be okay and miserable in Ohio for the rest of my life. So I said, babe, I think it's time to get serious about cartoons.
I've said that to my wife as well. It didn't work out quite as well.
Still in Billings, I see.
Yeah.
See, it worked for you. For me, she said, why wouldn't we follow your dream? And now I have to actually try. Which I think is the big problem, because I talk a big game. So now we're going to see if I can follow through. And Dallas was the choice. Originally, we were thinking about Los Angeles, but Dallas is kind of a hub for the anime community as far as production goes.
Okay.
Funimation is a company that's here. Also, the studio where they made or where they do the dubbing for Dragon Ball Z and a lot of other dubbing work and stuff is down here.
Okay.
So I felt like those would be a good step to at least try to get started, try to build a resume. And it also helped that my friends from Plaid Hat Games recently moved their whole company to this area.
Right.
So we had a little bit of a social circle waiting for us when we got down. Them being down here, you know, for about a year, an Origins ago. Yeah,
because right.
Origins is this weekend.
Yeah.
Because at the end of that con, everybody else, like, they had already packed. They were in the middle of a move during that convention. So, like, tensions were high. Everyone was crazy.
Right.
And they were in the middle of that big shift. So they went from just south of Toledo area, packed up everything in the truck for the company, drove the big truck down to Columbus. And then when the con was over, they departed from Columbus and went south and finished that move. So just them being down here made it a lot emotionally a little bit easier because
sure.
We came to a place where we knew some people at least.
Yeah. Well, I remember that because the last time we saw you was at Origins last year, and the Plaid Hat crew was kind of scrambling.
Yeah, it was about
there.
A year ago.
Yeah. So are you going to Origins this year with everybody?
No. It's a smaller in-house crew this year. It's just
okay.
Isaac and Brian. And they, I've been watching Brian's Snapchat. They're, I think they started driving this morning, I want to say.
Okay.
Wow. So they're, yeah, they're driving a van or something up that way. Like I said, a little bit of a smaller, like, direct Plaid Hat reference. Sure. But they've got a big old crew of volunteers. And from what it sounds like, some of our really fun, regular volunteers are going there to help out and hang out. And I'm actually really bummed that I'm missing this one.
Sure.
But I expect to see a lot of those same cool people at Gen Con this year. Because that one I'm definitely doing. Are you guys planning any con trips this year as a podcast or well, even as individuals?
That was the original plan until we opened a coffee shop. So now we're flat broke.
That'll do that.
Yeah. So we have a lot of coffee, but we have no gas money to get anywhere.
Yeah, working on turning that coffee into revenue at this point.
Right. So next year.
Yeah, it's almost reached the point where I'm just going to put coffee straight in the fuel tank and see if it works. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But
you know what you need? You need a Mr. Coffee from Back to the Future. A Mr. Fusion.
Right.
From Back to the Future, too. That'll really kind of kick it up a notch, I think.
Well, it is the year 2016. We should already have something like that, right?
From last year, we should have already had it.
Yeah.
We were like, 2015, it's the future. Everything is amazing. And then 2016 happened, and I don't know what's going on. We can skip the 2016 thing because that'll take a break.
let's avoid that topic.
We do plan to hit up a board game convention next year, though, and we're thinking BGGCon, which is down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, that'd be right in my area.
So if we do head down there, can we bunk with you?
You know what? You should just come over to see how funny that that question is because of how small our apartment
is. Just like with sleeping bags on our shoulders and stuff, just roll up to the
door. We have hard vinyl flooring. You're welcome to try it. There's no carpeting here.
Did you get your sound booth set up?
It's set up, but I hate it right now. Our apartment is the loudest thing. I can't even understand how it's this loud. We have a very loud refrigerator, and even if I turn off our air conditioning, which I tried the other night while I was recording an audition to send in, I cannot win with my current sound booth situation.
Right.
My last apartment was choice when it came to that, but we moved into cheap apartments, and we did that intentionally because we wanted to be responsible with this move and try to do this as smart as possible. I switched down, like went down to a part-time job from our two full-time schedules and stuff, so we planned accordingly. But audio-wise, it's not the greatest. So I don't expect this track is going to sound terribly good because there's a lot of room bounce in this area, especially no carpeting does not help with that at all.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that on this podcast. We're pretty much recording from the restrooms in the basement. So
the haunted restrooms?
Yes.
No. How do you say that? No, different restrooms, but
okay.
Probably just as haunted. Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna say these are the upscale, only slightly haunted.
So the board game culture in Texas seems to be thriving. We've got Plaid Hat out there now. We've got Bored with Life. I think Board Game Geek is headquartered down there. What is the draw to Texas? And so many people in board gaming just clamoring to get there.
It's barbecue. No, I want to say barbecue. The draw to Texas. Honestly, there's economy here. There's business seems to be booming in the area. There are jobs here. There is employment opportunities here. If you're looking for a change, I guess this is a thing that you can come to. I came here because this seemed like the most logical starting point because the cost of living in Los Angeles was just too high to commit to without having a resume that I can bring with me, without having some experience, because I need to get competitive in this really competitive industry. And I figured Dallas was a safer place to start, to build a resume, to get some practice and get some knowledge about this world that I'm in before I step up into the big leagues, before I take that extra risk. So this is a safer risk for what I want to be doing But, you know, it was still a change. We finally, like, just recently mellowed out as far as my wife and I go, because it has been an emotional journey. It is ridiculous moving across the country.
Yeah.
So we've been here for like a month and a half now. And I think the Sunday before this just passed one was the first Sunday we had gone to our new church and not been just a wreck emotionally. Like we got through a worship service without like bawling, and it was fantastic to just start to mellow out a little bit, because it's been a lot. So a lot of that is leaning on each other. A lot of it is leaning on our faith, and yeah. just trying to hold it together, not fake it or anything like that, but to just kind of breathe and let the change happen and try it out. So we're much more chill now. This last couple of weeks than
That's
we were.
Good.
It hasn't messed with like us as a relationship or anything like that, because I know sometimes you move across the country and some couples just have really hard times with that because it's such a big change.
Right.
But it's just overall for us, it's been like emotionally exhausting, and we're there for each other, because if I'm a mess, she's strong, and if she's a mess, I can be strong about it, and we'll get there. We're cool.
Yeah. Well, that's great you found a church, it sounds like, where you can be an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
And have people that understand maybe what you're going through and can kind of have a little bit of compassion for the newbies in town.
Definitely. We found a Vineyard church. I've been a Vineyard guy for like 8 years. If you're familiar with the Vineyard movement, it's a cool group. Vineyard started in California with a guy named John Wimber, who God used to put stuff together. And I really like the approach that Vineyard takes to ministry, takes to evangelism, takes to all kinds of good stuff.
Right. Yeah, one of my favorite lectures I think that he gave was, and he probably said it multiple times, but he just wanted to do the stuff that he read about in the Bible.
John Wimber is like, awesome. I love that guy.
Because one of those kind of phrases. Stuff.
When do we get to do the stuff? The stuff that Jesus did, you know, like
right, let's
people.
Go pray for people. It's
let's
awesome.
Go do it. He freaked out a lot of really uptight people, I think, over there in the churches where he started. Biker dude, like rock and roll guy. Let's go do this stuff. I'm saved now. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys should, if you ever want to hear some cool stories about that dude, John Wimber, there's a bunch, you can find a bunch on YouTube of him speaking. Just a really joyful guy who you see a lot of love, a lot of God's work through him. It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, we are all part of the Vineyard here in Billings, so.
Yes, that was like one of the first things that you said when you reached out to me at first, Adam, wasn't
it? It was, because I thought it was interesting that I was looking for a voice guy and just started listening to the Plaidhead podcast and contacted you to do some voice work, because I know you had mentioned on that podcast you were looking for work in that regard, and then went to your, I think it was LinkedIn or something, and there you were, worship director at the Vineyard.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, there might be a deeper connection that needs to be
it's
had
cool
here.
How stuff lines up. Funny how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we'll join you at the Vineyard in Dallas when we come down in 2017 for BGGCon.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be great. I just got really excited.
I know. Let's go do some stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, Hype City Central.
Yeah.
Right? Winter 2017.
Right?
Texas. Here we come.
Definitely not busy.
That'll only be like, what, your senior year, Seth?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can take out a couple weeks.
Okay.
No worries, Seth. I'm still in my senior year.
Of high school. No.
Oh, this guy brought jokes.
The jokesies.
So the last convention we all got to hang out at together, we played a prototype from Tuesday Night Games called World Championship Russian Roulette.
It's world's best number one board game. Very nice.
Yes. And that has arrived on Kickstarter as of this month. And I think, Alex, you and I backed it within days of each other.
Yeah, day one I was on that thing. As soon as I saw the announcement.
So we should probably talk about that again. It looks It doesn't look like it's changed much.
No, I don't think it has.
From their promo video.
I think they're just fancying up the bits as they go through.
When you compare it to other social moguls who are producing games, Anthony Birch created a fantastic game here, but then we've got Rooster Teeth doing $1 Million Butt, which is kind of a Cards Against style game, and that's over $1 Million. The Oatmeal was part of Exploding Kittens, raising millions of dollars. So I was kind of surprised to, at this point, only see Russian Roulette at kind of in the 30s.
Yeah, it's at 37,000 right now, but they only needed 15 to fund it. So they've more than twice passed it, but I think the difference that we're seeing here is about internet presence and fame clout being used here, whereas Rooster Teeth has exploded. I think they're based out of Austin, Texas, actually.
They are indeed.
And they're, because they went from some guys who were making Machinima back in the day with Red versus Blue and exploded into just video game everything, and it's expanded out ever since that. So they have really a crazy amount of fans and followers and people that are up there. Red versus Blue went for 10 seasons, so that thing... Yeah. I remember watching that in the dorms in college during season one, waiting every week for a new QuickTime video that we could download.
Right?
Yeah. I remember hearing the CEO of Rooster Teeth, which is, well, I don't know, the CEO is currently Matt right now, I think, but Bernie Burns, the guy who kind of started the whole thing. I love Bernie. I was a big Rooster Teeth fan for a while, but he talks about how it was a bunch of friends just making Machinima. Now it's, I believe it's a multi-million dollar company, which is, it kind of boggles the mind. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. And they're really good with their fans and stuff too, as far as they do a lot of events and things. So they go to, like, I got to see everyone at PAX, or all the ones that showed up at PAX in Boston a couple years ago. And I actually got to meet Barbara Dunkelman, who was there, and I bought some merchandise from her. So you're waiting in this long line, but when you get to the line, somebody's there to help you. And Barbara was the one that I got to talk to and say hello to and buy some merch from. And she is very pretty. She's also really funny. Like, she's the one on the podcast who is always punning horribly.
You gotta love Barbara.
They're grown-worthy puns, and she's great at it.
I take pride in the fact that a pretty lady sends me emails, even though it's to the entire community of Rooster Teeth, but I'm like, Barbara, send me an email. Okay. But I'm that guy.
Just warms your heart a little bit.
It does. Like, yeah. Barbara, hey.
I mean, if you're having a down day, that'll pick you right back up.
Because I'm pretty sure they even have, like, that system where it uses your first name in the email, which is kind of creepy, but also amazing. Right. Yeah, it's just like, hello, Steven. And I'm like, Barbara.
Babs, it's been too long.
Yeah.
You just have to immediately go and back the game on Kickstarter after that.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about these media outlets producing games, because the Awkward Yeti has a Kickstarter up now as well, called Oregon Attack. And World Championship Russian Roulette is a fantastic game. It's a great bluffing game. I remember we only played one round of it, and I was clamoring to own this game after we finished.
Same.
And we've played Exploding Kittens. We know Cards Against Humanity. It just seems like some of these social media outlets are producing games that really aren't that great. And is that really that good for the hobby when hundreds of thousands of people are playing these games that really are pretty subpar?
Can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Yeah, bring it.
Because I mean, I'm with you. Because I see, you know, Exploding Kittens didn't look like much to me, even though I love the Oatmeal. I think I got my sister one of his books for Christmas recently because she's a psychopathic cat person, and it really applied. I think the book was called, like, How to Tell If Your Cat Is Plotting to Kill You, kind of a thing. It was very funny. Just a collection of his comics. But the games themselves are not impressive to me. But I think that's probably because as members of the board game community, the hobby game industry, we are extremely privileged that we've been exposed to amazing tabletop content. So I think it's really easy for us to get jaded. In fact, I fully own the fact that I'm a tabletop game snob.
Right.
But at the same time, if this game is enough to entertain fans of Rooster Teeth or fans of, I actually don't know who the Awkward Yeti is or what that is. Then maybe that's all it needs to be, is another connection that their, you know, that their friends have. It's never going to be, you know, Ashes or Battlestar Galactica or, you know, Imperial Assault or X-Wing. But for some of those companies, they don't need to be, because it's just a connection that they have.
I would agree. And I feel like our problems, you know, quote unquote problem with something like $1 million, but is that it's not very innovative, because we have seen it before in other games of that style. However, that doesn't, in my opinion, make it a bad game by any means. I mean, maybe to us board game enthusiasts, as you said, it's not that exciting, but it still seems like a pretty solid, fun concept. And Rooster Teeth, as we've talked about, I mean, they have a huge following, and that started out as a segment on a podcast, listened to like thousands of people, and then it went to a mini series on YouTube, which is a huge success. I mean, it has like millions of views per video, and now they made a game of it. So it's not surprising to me at all that the game is just shooting on up.
They're totally just filling the opening in the market there.
Plus, there's always the fact that these games can introduce other non-gamers to kind of, well, Kickstarter and other games that are on there and other board games. So however small that link is, it can always provide just a little push in the right direction.
Yeah, they're just goofy, fun games to play with friends,
right?
Which we condone. I mean, come on.
Every time I go on and back something, I say it's going to be the last time I do it.
Okay.
I've been burned by a game or two that just weren't fun, and why am I backing this? This is so super dumb, kind of a thing. Once by the time that I get it, but I have two projects that I'm backing right now, and I'm going to be backing a third next time I get a decent paycheck. World Championship Russian Roulette, but that was a gimme because I've played it. It's wonderful. I can't wait for it. The other one that I'm backing right now is a card-based role-playing game. It's basically just a fast role-playing system. I honestly don't even remember what it's called. Kind of working together as a group to play the game and fight through it. It looked fun, and it was $20. So I thought, you know what? Okay, cool. I'm going to back this one. And the next one is going to be Catacombs and Castles, which is the next expansion to Catacombs that I'm very excited about.
Right. Yeah, I saw that up on Kickstarter, and I was disappointed I didn't get the opportunity to back Catacombs. And with this new one, you can back the expansion and get Catacombs
it. You're going to pay an arm and a leg for it, but it's, oh my gosh, it's worth it in my opinion.
If they take coffee beans, I can do it, but otherwise, I'm afraid I can't. We also have other games on their way. We actually were privileged to playtest The Long Night. We were, and it's on its way. And how much can we actually talk about this? I've heard Isaac talk on Shut Up and Sit Down and on the Plaid Hat podcast about some of the elements in this new expansion for Dead of Winter.
To be honest, I know very little about this one because I wasn't involved in the playtesting. I have not been involved with this game at all.
You're not invited to play? What happened
I just got to Texas, and they've been working on it for a while now. So I recently played...
Excuses.
I have many of them. I recently got to play another future expansion that they're playing with ideas for, to seeing if it's something that's going to fit right. And I know I can't talk about that.
Right?
Oh, come on.
But no, that's the tease that you get. That's all you get.
Right. Well, there are 20 new characters. Have you been privy to any of kind of the character artwork?
I know a couple of those people, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a Gilmore in here.
Yeah, Jamie. I love Jamie. That's John Gilmore's wife. She's a sweetheart. Right. She's also not to be trusted, especially in a game of werewolf. She will wreck you.
Who is in a game of werewolf?
No, like you don't trust me in a game of werewolf, but you really don't trust Jamie in a game of werewolf, because she will ruin your life, and she'll do it with a smile. it's fantastic. So let's see. The most recent thing.
We've got a rich summer here.
That's right. The most recent thing that's been posted. You've got the Rich Summer character.
Yeah.
It's actually Rich Summer. his subtitle is Regular Guy. He appears to be riding a motorcycle and has a chainsaw on his back.
Here's kind of a funny note. When we were playtesting this, they must not have gotten Rich's permission to use his likeness or his name at that point. Because the playtest card is Rich Summer's stunt double. So it's Summer, comma S, and then his title is stunt double, which I think is pretty funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, I got to edit the voiceover tracks that he did for the Mice and Mystics thing. That was fun to kind of cut those apart and get them into chapter chunks for people who wanted to buy that. But as far as the image rights thing, I assume it's just because likeness rights are a thing that you got to deal with, especially if you're if you're in the Actors Guild or whatever it is. I'm not sure. I assume things. Probably he's represented since he's been on TV and in movies and stuff. But
I would doubt he'd have an issue with it. He's a pretty heavy board game enthusiast.
Big time.
He started his own podcast, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
I think he might have, yeah. Talking about board games.
That's cool.
So yeah, we're looking forward to The Long Night and this second expansion that you're apparently not allowed to talk about.
Wouldn't you like to know?
We would like to know.
I'm sure you would. And you definitely would, because what I played was nuts. Colby was playing with some cool ideas on that one. I think the biggest thing that they were trying to figure out for Long Night is because it's releasing this weekend at Origins, was Isaac was talking about trying to figure out, Isaac and Brian were talking about trying to figure out how exactly to demo Long Night. Because Dead of Winter, we kind of have a set way that we demo things, or at least everybody who does run those demos, myself included, kind of has a setup that we tend to run with and get people plugged in, teach them how to play the game. Well, Long Night is its own standalone game, but it can also expand Dead of Winter. So there's the question of, okay, what things can we add? What's going to overcomplicate it? Because we want that demo table to be accessible to the, what is Dead of Winter people as well.
Right.
So there's that. They were trying to figure out that level of how to show off the cool new stuff while not overwhelming anybody who has never played a Dead of Winter game before.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they've probably figured something out. If not, they're going to wing it and they're going to nail it this weekend.
Well, I hope they get to dive into those Crossroads cards, because some of those are just hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going through those. We went through them multiple times. I think we played 10 games of this expansion.
We did indeed.
Yeah. So,
who printed that out?
Our names.
Who printed that out? And did you use color ink?
We used color ink.
Oh,
yeah.
You maniacs!
we have our names in the rule book.
Nice.
In the back of the rule book now.
I don't think I've had my name in a rule book since BioShock Infinite.
Don't we own that game?
Yes, we do.
We have been talking about playing that.
Have you not played it?
No,
we've wanted to for literally a year.
It's
now.
Wonderful, yeah. And it's a lot easier than it seems. Because it's just area control, and it's really fun. And the way that the dice interact, and especially the shortcut mechanism in the game, the skylines, traveling and stuff like that. Oh, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I got a kick out of demoing that game for a long time.
I do like to see more video game IPs making their way into the board game arena. Have you played Portal?
No. Was that Cryptozoic that did that?
I'm not sure
or,
who did that game.
I feel like I was being a snob and had a problem with the company that was making it for some reason, I haven't played it.
Okay. Have you seen the box for this game?
No, but I'm going to look it up right now.
It's one of the coolest boxes I've seen in a long time. It just looks worn, so they actually printed worn edges in the graphics, and you flip the box over and it looks like just a family from the 70s. Like giant horn-rimmed glasses.
Oh, jeez, look at that thing.
Yeah.
No, it's to the point where if you see it on the shelf, you're like, what a coincidence. Someone made a game called Portal, like before the game Portal even came out. That's
right.
What it makes you think.
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty recent.
But again, that's just, that's my bias, my snobbiness. The only thing I own of theirs is the DC Comics deck builder, and I love that one.
Had a question. It was going to transition really well.
I have a question. Okay, let's hear it. Won't transition at all. Okay. But okay. Like most of my questions.
Random question from Steven.
That should be a segment every time.
Right.
So Alex, it's kind of a question and also a request.
It's a request.
Yes. Wow.
Okay, I remembered my transition.
We'll get to that in a minute. Now I'm on something, okay? So the Felicia Day card for Dead of Winter.
You want one because you don't have one. Is that correct?
I have a personal problem with completion in games and knowing that there's one card out there that's beyond my grasp.
I'm trying to butter up the wife to let me order that Catacombs expansion. Although that one is like a necessity for me, though, because I actually have a Catacombs tattoo, so I really need to complete that collection.
Where is this tattoo located?
It is on my... where a bicep would be if I had muscles. Or no, that's not a... Wait, which one is the bicep? It's the... When you
what?
Do,
is it the tricep?
Somewhere on the arm.
It's above the crook of my elbow on my upper arm.
We probably talked about this before, but why the Catacombs tattoo?
I wanted a board game tattoo. And I went during Gen Con a couple years ago with my only knew her on Twitter friend, Tiffany Ralph, formerly of the Spooning Meeples YouTube channel. And we decided just in joking about, let's all get a group together and go get tattoos at Gen Con. I was like, yeah, I'll get a board game tattoo. Let's do that thing. And my favorite board game at the time was Catacombs, even though it was the garbage art version, like the original printing. So when I decided it was going to happen, I reached out to the company because they were doing the Kickstarter for the new edition. And that had a whole new redesigned art, much more cartoony, much more lighthearted, much more fun.
Yeah.
And I had them send me an image of the giant fireball so I could kind of base that as the tattoo, because I figured the fireball itself was also at least disguised enough that it wasn't like a board game piece necessarily.
Sure.
That would still look like a fun tattoo.
So when you get the expansion, you have a second arm to expand.
Oh, no.
No. Can I transition now, Steven? Are we good?
What was your incredible transition at?
From tattoo transition?
No, this is not from tattoo. This is from Star Wars. We're gonna rewind way back in time. Yeah.
Long time ago, in a conversation far, far away.
That's right.
There it is.
That's why we pay him the big bucks.
That's right.
Boom shakalaka. Well, coffee beans now.
Yep, exactly.
Which is even better, right? I mean, come on.
So to transition.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Yeah. We are actually wrapping up our first D&D campaign here, probably within the next month. And we would like to continue to role play. And Star Wars has come up as a role play option. I think... probably over a year ago, we talked about this. Have you run a Star Wars roleplay session?
I have. I just looked over. I'm in the same room where my game shelf is. And I just counted the spines on my Star Wars Edge of the Empire collection. And I counted 17 books just now.
Oh, my gosh.
I am collecting slowly now, especially with the change in financial stuff, because we're trying to be smart. I'm collecting the Star Wars Fantasy Flight roleplaying series.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Things that I can say about that are knowing what I know about you guys and the time that we got to hang out, especially in the improvisational side of us playing News at 11 together. I think you guys would have a ball with this because you have the ability to pick up and run with certain things. This game, and don't let the improv side surprise or scare you, this game has an incredible strength, incredible ability to let players and game master alike have a great time building a story. And the way that it works is, granted, game master is probably going to come to the table with something preset, something ready to go, In fact, honestly, we should talk later about what it might look like to try and Skype a session of some kind of role play. I think that'd be really fun because you guys are a fun group. But this game system, in the way that the dice function and the way that the building characters is simplified, it is so freaking cool. The way that it works. What do you guys know about it? Like, do you know anything about it, or am I talking to newbies at this particular game?
The little bit that I know is from you last time you were on the podcast, actually. Yeah. So, yeah. The only other thing I know, just as a general thing, is that I flipped through some of the books at a game store in Bozeman at Rooks, and incredible artwork in these books. I wanted to buy these books and just look at the artwork and not even play the game.
I love browsing through those, yeah.
And then I saw the price tags and went, well, maybe
well,
not.
I'll be honest, most of the ones that I pick up at an online game store to try and bring that barrier to entry down a bit. But, oh goodness, it's so wonderful. Even just the content in the books, if you want to just pick something up at, you know, your, I don't know if they have it at your local bookstore, but if it's something to thumb through, finding the different narrative parts and seeing what different things of the Star Wars universe you can explore. The one that's coming to my mind is the source book that's for explorers or something like that. The opening of that book has a narrative that feels like an Indiana Jones moment set in a Star Wars universe. Nice. Star Wars itself is such a playground to explore in. You can have, and this is me geeking out, you've opened the floodgates and I'm so sorry. You have this vast option of any story that you could want to tell. Telling it within the Star Wars universe is just going to bring it some more color and some more tangibility, especially for someone like myself who, like, I love the extended universe and the lore and things in there, but also at the same time, you don't need to know anything about the Star Wars universe to want to tell a fun story. Because whatever the genre that you're in, you can explore that within Star Wars. If you are in the Edge of the Empire campaign, that's going to be set in more of a Outer Rim, kind of almost a gritty exploration, smuggling kind of a style. With the next group of books that came out for Age of Rebellion, you can tell your military-based stories. With the Force and Destiny, you can get into the mystical and play with those different things. But then different genres themselves. Like, if you want to tell a film noir detective story, you can do that with this universe. I'm listening to a podcast right now. I mentioned before we started recording, called Campaign Podcast. Is by this group of Chicago-based improv people. It's hosted by Kat Cool. She is a wonderful GM, and this whole group, they just build stories together. Now, they don't play super super heavy with the mechanisms and the mechanics of the game. They're still rolling dice for checks and things, but sometimes those episodes will go and you'll have, you know, a 40 minute to an hour recording session where there's only, you know, three dice rolls made because they're developing characters and having a blast, and they're improv people, so there's a lot of yes and also this is going on, and they're riffing and they're very very funny, so they're a little bit more on the laid back side of the game mechanisms, but they're doing a great job at telling the different kind of goofy stories that Star Wars can have. And it's just a little ragtag group of friends that are, you know, on an adventure kind of a thing. But it works so well.
That does sound like a lot of fun. And I'm glad to hear that even though you may not be into the Star Wars lore and history, that it can still be a fun experience, because these two here are heavy into the lore and have been for a while. But I've seen the films, and that's kind of my extent. I enjoy them a great deal. I know the characters, but it's nice to know that I won't feel out of place.
Dude, the EU, man.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
All you need is the films in order to see, okay, here's a world that we can step into.
Sure.
And the point that I was going to make, and I drifted off into another side of the topic, is right now, this time is an amazing time to be a fan of Star Wars because the new movies are being created. We see Rogue One is coming out. Is it this year, this December?
Yep.
Yeah, 2016. Yes, sir. Rogue One, the first standalone, you know, Star Wars movie that's not about the what I like to call the misadventures of the Skywalker family, which is all the all the seven current like canon main storyline movies are about. It's something happened to a Skywalker. Now let's deal with this problem. And it's going to give us a really interesting trip into other things that can be done with this movie. So this is like, it feels like a military-based Ocean's 11 or something that's being built for Rogue One. I've only seen a couple of trailers, but I cannot wait for more of that content.
It definitely looks amazing.
Oh, man.
Without just all the Jedi, it's just going to be kind of a more nitty-gritty military film is what it looks like.
Yeah.
But then with the looming threat of Darth Vader in the background, without your Luke Skywalker to stand up to him, it's going to be great.
Vader is terrifying.
Yes.
If I could make one Star Wars recommendation for you, are you guys watching Rebels, the animated show?
I have not been watching Rebels, and I do not think Steven has either.
Treat yourselves Rebels.
Here's my problem. When that first came out, Alex, I was a huge, I was deep into the Clone Wars series they had.
Oh, wow.
And when they, because honestly, my favorite time period of Star Wars is pre-Empire, like pre-Jedi Purge. And so I loved the Clone Wars series and that whole thing. And when they canceled that, like they did, only so that they could go and make this Rebels show, which to me seemed like pandering to the younger audiences. Now, I realize that plenty of older people and like various age groups can enjoy this show. But at the time, I was kind of bitter about the whole concept.
I believe that. Made
this random pledge of, I will not watch this show. And now I hear nothing but great things about it. So I may eventually go back on that. But as of now, no, I do not watch Rebels.
Steven, as your Facebook friend, as your newly PlayStation friend, and as your we hung out and met and played games at a gaming convention one time friend, I need to implore you to give Rebels a shot because it is so worth it. I actually hated the Clone Wars series. Now, this may not be helping my case because I thought they were pandering to kids like you were describing. I thought that that was the one that was just, oh, it's this kid stuff. And I was super annoyed because that apparently was canon so that it counted as whatever happened in Clone Wars was true in the rest of the Star Wars universe. So all this stuff got changed blah, 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 and I hated that. So I was skeptical about Rebels.
What, I'm not like going to just attack you now, I'm curious, what seasons of the Clone Wars did you watch?
I have seen random bits and pieces episodes. I actually went on Netflix and tried to go through it and find some episodes and really give it a shot, and jumped around a little bit. And I don't think that helped my case because I was kind of stepping in and out of different parts of the timeline, just looking for something, anything that I could like latch onto, get into it. Because I happened to be in like a really Star Wars place at that time, but it still has not grabbed me.
Yeah, well, I will say, though, that I agree, for the most part, even, with some portions of the seasons, especially season 1 and 2. Later on in the show, it gets quite a bit more serious, and they had this odd turning point. I think it was either at the end of season 2 or middle of season 3, I can't remember, where they reskinned the three main characters and did this whole change in the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And like made Ahsoka older, for example. She like matured a bit. Anakin and Obi-Wan both became more like their movie counterparts in Revenge of the Sith. And they had this whole little change in dynamics, and the whole just look and feel totally evolved at that point. And the episodes from that point on were far superior to me than the first two seasons.
That's cool.
So I will say that if you try one of the later episodes, it may be
as
more
his
appealing.
Facebook friend.
As my Facebook friend, yes. and new PlayStation friend.
Right. Well, I think it's great that we have so many good Star Wars games now to play, and Fantasy Flight is doing some really cool things with that IP, to the point where you could probably chain some of these together where you're doing a roleplay session, you have maybe a dogfight in space, you spin your chair around, play some X-Wing or Armada. There's got to be a way to chain these together at this point.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There was talk about, and I've played Armada, I think, twice now with that same friend that I mentioned earlier, and Armada is not for me. The concept is super cool. I love the idea of fleet combat, especially in the Star Wars universe, because I know those ships so well, because I've read so much of the EU. But the gameplay itself, and this is not knocking Fantasy Flight, but this one got a little bit more complicated than I liked for the game. I've played a lot of X-Wing. And stepping into Armada, I feel like I was in a strong place because I've got my my idea of spatial reasoning on the open tabletop, basically, and you're moving ships around and things like that. But they add this level when you're dealing with capital ships of planning ahead of time. So Star Destroyers are big honking ships, and they take time to get places, and you need to preload your orders to those ships so that, you know, you're making a decision right now for two turns ahead, and you're adding that order to a little stack of chips that you're resolving as you go through turn by turn. And that was too much for me. It was too much planning, because it was just more information that I was trying to put out there and predict things for than was comfortable for me as a gamer. X-Wing is my strong suit there, because I am all about turn-to-turn accuracy and going, okay, what's happening now? How am I reacting to this thing to be in the best position I can be for next turn? And we go from there. And that's about as far forward as I'm comfortable with thinking. But sure. Armada, for like those chess players out there who are thinking ahead, who are good at that, I think that might be a great game for them.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like just a basic tactics versus strategy kind of situation.
Exactly.
Where X-Wing is more tactical. And for those thinky people who like to strategize, it sounds like Armada might be a good fit.
Like you, Seth.
Oh, yeah.
Just a chess master.
Grandmaster, definitely.
Well, Seth is heavy into X-Wing. I don't know that he has the time or the cash to get into another X-Wing style game.
One day.
Right.
Let's make seven gladiators and fly them around and just run into people. That'd be sweet.
The problem with X-Wing is they keep coming out with new stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of Rebels, they're adding in Rebel ships now.
Oh, man. I saw some ghosts two weeks ago. I went to the Dallas regional tournament for X-Wing, and I played 4 out of 6 matches. Before I quit the tournament, because after 4 games of lots of losing, I got tired and didn't want to get cranky on anybody, so I decided it was best to bow out. The ghost was wrecking some stuff out there. I saw a couple of ghost-based teams. It was cool.
And they're adding characters into, like, the Scum. You have Sabine on Scum, and then you have the Inquisitor's Tie. It's just really cool how they're incorporating that from the shows. And then even just from the new movies, they're going to come out with more things, so it's a great time to get into X-Wing, as I've said before.
Right. Basically, at any time, it's a great time to get into X-Wing.
I mean, maybe X-Wing will just die next year, but I don't think so.
Yeah, the number one minis game on the planet. Right. Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere for a while. So, Alex, we should probably let you go. It's getting
late. I don't want to run your podcast too long. I feel like I'm talking a lot and taking over stuff.
But before we let you go, do you want to talk about the new Plaid Hat podcast format? You guys recently bowed out of the Dice Tower Network.
We did.
To do something a little bit more edgy, it sounds
like.
Well,
they felt the pressure from BGPOV, you know, so they...
I mean, hey, listen, the top competition came in, and we wanted to give you guys room to grow and let some things happen. It was a moment where it sounded like... We were burned out. My whole podcast, everybody on it was sick of this just recording at night thing, and we're recording on Skype, mm-hmm. and no one can see each other, so there's no like reactions or able to kind of read what's going on with other people. It's just talking at a screen, like I'm doing now, although I don't tend to have a problem with that format as much. It's more like the regularity and things. I was getting tired of that, as well as most of the other guys were just scraping the bottom of the barrel for topics and everything. And so the idea was, since I was moving to Dallas, we would try something live and in person and record on site in the same room and see if that would kind of give us a fix and breathe some new life into a podcast that we were getting tired of. And we felt that the podcast itself was getting tired. So the new format, we've only been at it for a couple of weeks now. I've enjoyed what I've been able to put together so far. I'm going to record one more tomorrow. Because we do them Tuesday nights before game night at Plaid Hat.
Mm-hmm.
Since we were talking about a new format that was not necessarily going to be G-rated, let's face it, was definitely not going to be G-rated because we have
right.
We have some mouths on our podcast. I'm not much for the cursing or the mature content, just because it's not really who I am. But some of the guys like to kick back, and they have some sailorisms that they'll drop every now and then.
Sure.
That it was time to take a step back from the Dice Tower side and just see if we were going to try to reinvent this thing. So yeah. We're in person now. We're just basically grabbing whoever's free in the office and having a little hangout session. We're not doing even necessarily planned topics anymore. It's turned into a hangout session, like I mentioned, where we talk about things that the guys are working on in the office. So I'm kind of the go-between for that because I don't know what's up with them. I don't work there. I kind of help and ask questions and inform on those things. Colby's been taking a little bit more of a front row on the lead side of it because he knows what's going on at the office and knows what people are talking about and excited about. And we're just trying new things with it to see what makes sense. And if we can have some fun with it and still provide some content that people want to listen to.
I will say I have listened to the first two episodes, and I do enjoy the new format.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I like braced myself just now, just in case.
No, it was...
We all hated it.
It was the worst.
No, I like it because, I mean, we all know that Plaid Hat designs board games, and it's fun to hear them talk about things that aren't necessarily board game related and kind of dive into a little bit more cerebral topics, as well as you've got this fishbowl idea that I really enjoy.
The party game bowl.
Yeah, just random topic pull.
We have like the bits of most of like four or five party games in there. So anytime the conversation lulls, we just grab a card and see where that conversation leads us.
That's a really cool idea. I hope you guys keep doing that.
Sometimes it goes to a weird place because we got Fun Employment is one of the games that's got cards in there. I love Fun Employment because it's great fuel for silliness. But on the episode I recorded last week, was the first time we'd pulled a card that I intentionally skipped. And I'll tell you guys what that was. Here's the behind the scenes one. I pulled a card and it said on it and decided that that was not a topic that we wanted to talk about as a part of our podcast. So I pretended I threw that in the box and I grabbed another one.
That's probably a good call. Well, Alex, thank you for joining us again a year later. Maybe should we just make this a year event sometime around Origins?
100%.
I can't take more than that.
What?
I wouldn't recommend it. Doctors say, you know, too much Alex is a problem.
So let's do it again, June of 2017.
All right. I'll put it on my calendar right now.
Okay. And we'll probably see you at BGGCon sometime here in the near future.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about if we want to swing something for like a role-playing session.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll...
I know we do want to do a few one-off campaigns, so that might be a good venue to do that.
Yeah.
And there are definitely tools online that are made just to play D&D over Skype and things like that.
So right.
Oh, man.
Pretty easy to get one started.
I was just reminded of a really fun game. I've played it once called View Scream. Have you heard of View Scream?
No.
It is a Google Hangouts-based role-playing game where everybody is on their own computer, on their own webcam. And at the beginning of the game, there's some... It might be preset, so you can only technically play it a certain number of times. But it's this improvised role-playing scenario where each person of the four people are crew members on a spaceship. And things are going wrong, so engineering has to deal with this problem and different, you know, parts of the ship. Everybody's kind of got their own problems and things that they have to deal with. So you have solutions for other people's problems, but only some of your solutions will apply to other people's problems. So usually by the end of the game, people have improv'd their deaths and things. But it was really interesting. I've played it once. And I think I still have all the materials for it. If that's an option you guys want to try out, we could definitely do something like that.
It does sound like fun. Well, any final thoughts, gentlemen? These two are just staring into each other's eyes here. I'm not sure what's not going
true.
On.
That was not true at all.
That does happen.
I could feel the mojo from this side. It was impressive.
Right, yeah. Well, I think that's a podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
Join us again for episode 30. Coming in the near future.
The big 3-0.
That's right.
Oh, no, the podcast is over the hill.
No,
or is that 40?
That's 4-0.
That's 4-0, yeah.
It's 40.
Come on.
We're just coming into our own here.
That's true. The podcast is fresh out of college.
Yeah.
We're going to be out of the crazy 20s, you know?
It doesn't really know what to do with itself yet.
Right.
Watch out, America.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Buzzword, buzzword, buzzword. Be amazed.